ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you in faithful, and he will do this. Beloved, pray for us. Greet all brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I solemnly command you by the Lord that this letter be read to all of them. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, may what I say be what you gave me to say, and may we each take our own lessons from it by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. There are just three extra verses at the beginning of the Thessalonians reading that I do need to read because I'm actually talking about them. So, starting at verse 12, "But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them." And I would encourage you to have your Bibles open at page 219, because I'm going to be referring to specific verses as I work through. It's a great shame that time doesn't allow us to look at this letter in its entirety in one session. How often do you receive a letter and read it over several days? Never mind several weeks, as we've done here. Can I urge you to go home and read the whole thing in one go, as it was meant to be read? You get a much fuller understanding of what Paul was getting at if you do so. You get the impression that Paul wants to say far more than he can fit into a short letter, and really needs to speak to them in person. He contents himself with a short list of commands and encouragements to be getting on with. And today's passage can be broken down into three sections: verses 12 to 15, 16 to 22, and 23 to 24, followed by the signing off. And if you've got your Bibles open, we'll start with verses 12 to 15. "Whether they know it or not, each family has unwritten, though often spoken, rules for harmonious living. And Paul lists five examples. Do as you are told by your leader. Get along with each other, particularly in the case of children on the back seat of a car. Play your part in family life. If it's your turn, do the washing up. Help each other, and no paybacks. And we, sitting here in St. Mary's, are the family of St. Mary's. So the same applies to us. And each of Paul's instructions can be expanded. Follow the leader. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls and will give an account. They're not doing it for their own pleasure and will be answerable to their own leader in due time. Be at peace among yourselves. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do your part. Ephesians 4:16 says, the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, each as part of its each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building up in love. Help each other, Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And no paybacks, Romans 12:17 to 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verses 16 to 24 seem to be more personal and appear to be Paul preparing the Thessalonian church for Jesus' return. A bit like spiritual Boy Scouts, be prepared. The passage can be split into two parts. Our part, verses 16 to 22, and God's part, verses 23 and 24. And when looking at our own part, we must keep in mind that it is entirely voluntary. There's no coercion or compulsion from God, but there will be consequences. Whether we obey and follow or choose not to. As the rich young man discovered in our Matthew reading, there were conditions to be observed when Jesus let him walk away. Jesus knew his weakness and pinpointed it, but let him choose what to do about it. So coming back from our little detour to Paul's letter, Paul's instructions are short and succinct, but are in line with his attitude shown in chapter 2, that he was gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. Rejoice always. How often have we as parents said to our children, cheer up, it's not so bad, or it could be worse, when they come home upset about something? Paul, however, is not speaking platitudes, as he expands in a later letter to the Philippians. One of my favourite passages that has encouraged me many times over the years is found on page 212. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now you need to bear in mind that the letter to the Philippians was written from prison, where Paul was waiting to be executed. So he wasn't speaking platitudes. Back to Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. Not just on Sunday morning when we recite the Lord's Prayer together. Prayer should be a conversation with God as we go about our daily lives, just as we talk to family members and friends about everything from the weather, football, triumphs and anxieties. It's evident from even a fairly superficial reading of the Gospels that Jesus was in constant contact with his Father through prayer. So I don't need to emphasize the importance of it. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is one of those instructions that has been misunderstood over the years. Paul is not saying give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. Subtle difference. Wherever we find ourselves, there are things we can thank God for. Just as Paul did from his death cell in the letter to the Philippians I referred to earlier. Do not quench the Spirit. God is living in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And often that's the still small voice that we tend to describe as conscience or prompting. As Jesus promised in John's Gospel, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So that little nudge you get sometime to say something or do something might be just outside your comfort zone, could well be the Holy Spirit wanting you to respond. I know I've missed it several times. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. It's not always easy to know what is meant by prophecy, but we can be sure of two things. First, it will not contradict scripture. And second, it's usually meant to build up the Christian community. So we need to test it against the Bible and hang on to the good bits. And verses 23 and 24 are, as I said earlier, God's part and reminiscent of the chapter 3:13 that I finished with a couple of weeks ago. Paul is repeating his prayer for them and asks the Thessalonian church to pray for him. Now, I've tended to describe all these instructions on a personal basis, but of course, Paul wrote this letter to the church in Thessalonica, not an individual person. I solemnly command you by the Lord that this letter be read to all of them. Verse 27. But what is church, or a family for that matter, if not a collection of individual people living, working, and worshipping together? So can we pray together? May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Amen.
Busy day,
be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit...
Well, thank you to Paul for reading. Can I invite you to stand with me? Let's stand together. And we're just going to pray as we begin to think about that passage together. Let's pray.